Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. And while you're turning, let me just say that after the service, I'll be back there in the back to greet our guests. Brother Craig will be back there as well, and there'll be a sign-up sheet if you're interested. Now, let me say this. If you sign up, it doesn't mean you are committed. It means you will come to the training to hear more about it. I promise you, you'll be trained and you'll be equipped to be a part of this ministry, and it will be a tremendous blessing. There are some extra options that are available as well if you'd be interested in doing not just an individual, but maybe a small group. Craig has that ability to line that up through a ministry he's calling an English conversation group that meets outside of the church walls. And God is using this ministry in a huge way. If you're wanting to share the gospel and you say, you know, I just can't find someone to share the gospel, well, we don't have that excuse anymore, ladies and gentlemen, because you will be paired up with someone whom you can meet and become friends with. And I can virtually promise you, because of Jesus' work in your life, that it will come up in conversation as you meet your new friend. Now, Romans chapter 16, we are in a series, we are ending actually next week. Do I have an amen? I thought maybe y'all be excited and maybe even cheer to know that we were coming to the end of this study. But open up your bulletin there. I want to make sure that you have the outline because we're getting to the end here. And if you don't get this outline, then I'm really, really going to be disappointed. The theme is the gospel is God's power to save from chapter 1, verse 16. And then we have number 2, grace what? Needed. Very good. Just say it out loud, okay? Grace needed, all right? Say needed. All right. Number 3, grace given. Very good. Number 4, grace understood. Number 5, grace to Israel. Number 6, grace what? Lived out. And that's been a long section that we have been involved in, beginning with Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So grace lived out. Now we've come to the very end, and we have a little snippet into the life of the Apostle Paul in a section that we have entitled Grace in Paul. Very good. Grace in, say this with me, Paul. All right, good. Grace in Paul. So grace needed, grace given, grace understood, grace to Israel, grace lived out, grace in Paul. Now, last week we talked about Paul's thoughts on ministry. Today, we're thinking about Paul's thoughts on people. Now, if you read this passage of Scripture, it is a lot of names. Matter of fact, let me just read it, and you follow along in your copy of God's Word. Now, if I get to a name that I cannot pronounce, I always just say Bubba. I'm just kidding. Okay, here we go. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church at Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed she has been a helper of many and to myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. Greet Mary, who labored much for us. Greet Andronicus and Hunia, my countrymen and fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Ampelius, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Greet Apelles, approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my countrymen, greet those who are of the household of Narcissus and who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have labored in the Lord. Greet the beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Greet Asyncritus and Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren who are with them. Greet Philologus and Julia. Greet Nereus and his sister, Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. Verse 17. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Verse 19, for your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Timothy, my fellow worker, and Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my countrymen, greet you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, my host, and the host of the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the treasurer of the city, greets you. And Quartus, a brother. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, look up here at me. That's a mouthful when you think about all those names. And what is the lesson that we get? Can I just say this to you? I have enjoyed this preparation for this message as much as any that I have had in the book of Romans, because it has shown me the importance of people. These are Paul's thoughts about people, the impact of people in his life, in the lives of the people in Rome. And I want you to think just a second. Shh. Think about the people that have touched your life for Jesus Christ. Think about the opportunities you've had to influence others for Christ. You may build a tremendous business. You may have houses. You may have lands. You may have title. You may have power. But I submit to you today that your greatest accomplishment in your life will be the impact that you're able to have upon the people for whom Christ died. And we see here demonstrated the longest listing of individual names that Paul gives in his letters. He always ends with a commendation. He gives us three main points, and I want you to have these points right off the bat. The people we honor, the people we avoid, and the people for whom we have labored, the people with whom we have labored. There are three parts to the outline. The people we honor or commend, the people we avoid, and the people with whom we have labored. I want you to think about that, the impact of people. When I was a teenage boy, I had a Sunday school teacher named Mr. Marshall. Mr. Marshall was asked to fill in for just a couple of weeks. Have you ever been asked to teach Sunday school? And somebody said, would you just fill in? Some of y'all are still teaching. You started out just filling in. Brother Marshall started out filling in, and he ended up teaching high school boys, listen, for over 50 years. I was a member of his Sunday school class, and I used to sit there, and brother, I'm sorry. I just get choked up thinking about Brother Marshall. Brother Marshall, his lip would quiver when he talked about Jesus. He was not super skilled. The youth ministry leaders today who think that, you know, you've got to have all this wow factor and everything, he didn't have any of that, but I tell you what he had. He had a relationship with Jesus, and he loved teenage boys. And we knew it. And I remember sitting there in his class thinking, I want the God that he has in my life. I want it to be that real to me as it is in Mr. Marshall's life. Well, as time went on, after I finished and by the way, his son went to church here, Tim Marshall. Some of y'all may remember Tim. But anyway, I went off to UF, and I came here, and I got involved in North Central. I met Kelly. We got married, went to seminary. I came here and was youth pastor for 4 years, and then I went back to my home church where Mr. Marshall was still teaching teenagers. Well, I was the youth pastor. I was kind of his youth leader. It was very humbling. And Brother Marshall continued to pour into these young men's lives, and we had a pastor school, and I always had him come and share his testimony about the young men that he was able to influence for the Lord. I learned from Brother Marshall that people are the most important thing in the world. And I want you to get that. I want us to get that today. I want us to get it from Paul. Listen, I know this, you may read this and say, man, this is boring. You know, who is Petrobus? Petrobus was a person for whom Christ Jesus died. He was a person for whom Paul had impacted in some way, and he gave a commendation. He gave a greeting. Brother Marshall and I used to go to lunch at Woody's Barbecue in Jacksonville on University Boulevard. I'd call him up. I'd say, Brother Marshall, can you give me some wisdom? I had a situation, and you know, I was in his class, and now I'm his leader. It was kind of really awkward, but we would go to Woody's. You'd think I was sitting with Tim Tebow. You know, if you ever went to lunch in Gainesville with Tim Tebow, you'd never say a word to him because people be coming up to him all the time, and you couldn't even get a word in edgewise. When I had lunch with Tim here after I became pastor, I brought him into that conference room over here and didn't tell a soul he was coming. Went and bought him Adam's ribs and all the fixings. He did not eat one fixing. He ate a whole slab of ribs right in that conference room in there. But I did that so I could talk to him. Well, I went out with Brother Marshall, and the Lord is my witness, we would sit there and talk, and men, bankers, businessmen, teachers, and others that were out at lunch would come by while we were trying to talk, and they'd say, hey, Brother Marshall, you taught me in Sunday school. Thank you for the impact you've had in my life. I'm married now, and I got 3 kids, and we go over to this church, and I'm teaching Sunday school. I mean, there are people all over that town because he had invested in people. Folks, can I tell you this? Build your houses. Amass your wealth. Do everything that you feel called to do, that you know you need to do to prepare and to provide for your family. But do not miss this. Your greatest treasure is people. And that's what we learn, Paul's thoughts on people. Now, who do we honor? I want you to get it all right here. I want you to notice, if you can show that slide, brother, here are all the different people. And I've tried to put all these people in these categories, okay? If you want to write them down, you can write them down. Here's the people we honor, who Paul honored. He honored individuals. He honored couples. He honored women. He honored families. He honored veteran believers. That's a great point I want to bring up here in a minute. He talked about friends. He talked about the prominent, those that had great influence. And then he talked about men. Quickly, I'm not going to have time to go through every single one with super detail, but we think about individuals. In verse 1 of this chapter, he says, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister. Now, Phoebe was the person who took the book of Romans. Can you imagine? Paul wrote this greatest, this Luther was saved reading Romans, folks. Luther was saved reading Romans. John Wesley was challenged by Romans. This is the greatest theological book that we have in Scripture. It's got all the gospel wrapped in it. And Phoebe, our dear sister, was an individual whom Paul had entrusted with this book. And he says to the church there, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea. That was a little community at the harbor of Corinth. Paul was in Corinth when he wrote this book. And so he says that you may receive her, verse 2, in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. And indeed, she has been a helper of many and of myself also." He commended. He sent this book along. He said, "I want you to receive Phoebe and receive her as a sister." By the way, I don't know that this is the place where we get this, but you know, in Baptist churches, we write for letters. You know what I'm talking about? When you join a church, if you join another Baptist church from North Central, they'll write us a letter and they say, "Hey, you know, what about old John Roberts? Is he really for real? Did he really come to North Central?" And I'll write back and say, "I don't even know the guy. Who are you talking about?" "No, I'm kidding. I say, "Of course, that's John. We know John and Nicole." And so we'll send on what we call their letter. Now, I'm not saying this is where we get that, but I am saying that this is similar. He is sending the book of Romans, and he's saying to the church, receive her as someone that is a believer in Jesus Christ. All right? So you have individuals. Epaphroditus in verse 5 is an individual. "Likewise, greet the church that is in their house." Then it says, "Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ." Some believe he was the earliest convert. The word Achaia can also be the word Asia. Some of your Bibles may have a little note there. It says Asia. This guy was the first convert in Asia. These are individuals, all right? Then he talks about couples. Look at verse 7. He says, "Greet Andronicus and Junia." They were a husband and a wife. "My fellow countrymen and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me." That's a couple. And then he talks about Priscilla and Aquila in verse 3. Couples. Think about the couples that have impacted your life, that have modeled marriage and service in the Lord. And he says, "I want you to greet them, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life." We're not sure exactly when that happened, but it may have been that there was a riot in Ephesus. You know, when Paul first went to Corinth, he met Priscilla and Aquila. They were already saved. But Aquila was a tent maker. Paul was a tent maker. That shows me that sometimes our ministry revolves around our work. Paul was a tent maker. Aquila was a tent maker. He met them, and all of a sudden, he stayed with them. And you know what they did? They actually moved with Paul. When Paul went on a journey, they went with him. And he says, "They risked their necks for me." He's probably referring to Ephesus. When it got so bad, there was a riot in Ephesus, and Priscilla and Aquila were there. Well, evidently, they had gone back to Rome. So they were originally from Rome, and when Claudius, the emperor of Rome, made an edict in AD 49 and said, "I want the Christians out of Rome," they had to flee. They had to flee Rome, and that's how they connected up with Paul. So he's talking about couples, all right? Then he talks about women. Look at verse 6. "Greet Mary, who labored much for us." That's an interesting word, labored. It's interesting that he talks in verse 12. Look at this. He names some other ladies. "Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have labored in the Lord. Greet the beloved persons who labored much in the Lord." These are ladies. These are women. And these are some that he honored. You know, it's very interesting. This word labor points out strenuous labor. You know, I have noticed something. That our ladies, guys, if we're not careful, men, listen. We are challenged as men to lead out. Amen? Boy, I tell you. Just for that, you're staying another 30 minutes. Just for that. Just for that. Too often, and it's even mentioned here, when words are used such as strenuous labor, they're talking about the ladies. I have found this in my own life, that my temptation is to be passive. Men's temptation is to be passive and not take responsibility and lead out. I love it when you have children's work, listen, whom many relegate only to the ladies. I love it when you have children's work that have a man's man in there helping those young men, those boys and girls in that ministry. I think that makes a tremendous impact. As a young man coming up without a dad, I'm thankful my dad had gone to heaven when I was 15 years old. I'm grateful that I had men in my life who led out, who were not ashamed of Jesus Christ, and they led out in evangelism and witnessing and being God's man in God's place at the right time. And it impacted me. I saw that when I came to North Central. But he says to these about these ladies, they labored much. And he uses an interesting word with emphasis, strenuous labor. Then he talks about families. We talk about ladies. Then he talks about families. In verse 10, he's talking about, in chapter 16, verse 10, he says, greet Apelles, approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. And he's talking about the household, families. Now, this is interesting. Look at verse 13. He talks about this guy named Rufus. How about that name? Rufus. Man, I like that name. Listen, Rufus, the Bible says in verse 13, he was chosen in the Lord. That meant he had a sense of being called to a place of prominence in the local assembly. He was very respected, this man named Rufus. He had a place of prominence. You know, in Mark chapter 15, verse 21, let me read this verse, Mark 15, 21, it says, then they compelled a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander, and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear his cross. Now, we don't know for sure, but there are scholars who believe that this Rufus in Romans was one of the men enlisted to carry the cross of Jesus Christ on the way to Calvary, because it uses the name Rufus. And they think perhaps he ended up in Rome and he was very prominent and respected. Wouldn't you think he would be? He was converted out of carrying that cross and seeing Jesus Christ die on that cross. He carried that cross and then he gave his life to Jesus Christ and then he ended up in Rome. And Paul says, I know Rufus is there. Would you please... He says, would you greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine? What he meant was his mother had impacted him. Hey, moms, I know you got your own kids. Do you know you impact other kids too? Do you know you influence other adults too? Do you know, moms, that your household can be a great witness to others? Hey, look, I'm thankful. When I got saved, I got plugged in with some buddies of mine, and I went to their homes, and their parents loved me. They cared about me. They encouraged me, and it's such a blessing. I sense that same feeling with some guys, and I could name the mamas right now. I tell you one thing, when those ladies go to heaven, there'll be a redheaded preacher in that congregation because they loved me, and they cared for me. So he's talking about families. The influence of families. I'm never going to finish this message. I'm just telling you. I know where I am. Listen to reality. I know where I am, and I know what that clock says. You know, they put a clock right there. You know they do that to me. Now, I vetoed them putting one back there. I'm just telling you. Okay. All right. So I'm just going to go through this quickly. He's talking about families. There's another family in verse 15. He talks about the children, too. There's a whole family listed. Philologus, Julia, Nerus, and his sister Olympus. That's the two children of the mom and the daddy right there. Talking about families, the impact of families. Hey, look, your marriage is a picture of Christ in the church. That's what marriage is. Hey, look, if you love your wife as Christ loved the church, man, do you know you are proclaiming the gospel? Just the way you live and love your wife, and wives, as you take your place in love and ministry in your family, you are proclaiming the gospel as well. All right, Next one, veteran believers. I call them mighty oaks, the mighty oaks of the church. Look at verse 10. Greet Apelles, approved in Christ. That is an interesting word, approved. That is someone who was found trustworthy. That's what that word means. Someone tested and found trustworthy. Goodspeed, the scholar, translates this in his copy of the New Testament. He translates it veteran believers. Hey, look, Paul was honoring people, and one of the people he honored was veteran believers. Those that have been tested and tried through the years. Those you can count on. Hey, let me tell you something, young people. Some of you young people, you can vamoose this place. You can leave here, and you can come back in 15 years, and there'll be some men right here on that Sunday that are here today. Veteran believers. Those that have been tested through thick and thin, and they're faithful. All right, letter F, friends. He says, greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ. And Stachys, my beloved. That's in verse 8 and 9. Those are friends. And then he talks about the prominent in verse 11. The household of Narcissus in verse 11. If the reference in verse 11 is Tiberius Claudius Narcissus, the famous freedman of the emperor Tiberius, a man of proverbial wealth who exercised great influence at the time of Emperor Claudius. This may have been someone very prominent in Rome who was converted to Jesus Christ, and he is mentioned to honor. And then he talks about men. He says, Asyncritus, Philegion, this is verse 14, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, and the brethren who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, this is the life verse of most teenagers. Just hold on, you'll get it. Greet one another with a holy kiss. But seriously, in today's vernacular, this would be like give everyone a great hearty handshake. Because in those days, that's the way they greeted one another. They greeted one another with a holy kiss. So these are people, Paul's thoughts on people. People we honor. Quickly, people we avoid. In verses 17 through 20, those who bring disunity. And he goes through it. You can read the passage. There are those who teach contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. For those who are such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. People we avoid. We avoid, and they're not sure exactly who the ones are. They're just people that cause division. Avoid them. Don't let your lot be cast with the dividers. Don't let your lot be cast with the people that don't want the church to be effective, but nitpick over little things that don't matter. And so he talks about it, and they don't know it. Perhaps it was the libertarians that just absolutely ramrodded their liberty down the throats of the people. Whatever the case may be, there are people to avoid. In his listing of people, congregation, Paul said, look, I want to give you my thoughts on people. There are people we honor, but then there are also people we avoid. He says, I want you to be wise, but I also want you to be innocent of evil. 2 Peter 2:3 says, by covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. And Paul talks about that. So there are people we honor, there are people we avoid, and then lastly, to close it out, people with whom we labor. Verses 21 through 24, he says, Timothy, my fellow worker. You know, Timothy was a young man that Paul met, and he took him under his wing. He joined Paul at Lystra on the second missionary journey and labored side by side with a veteran evangelist. Ladies and gentlemen, God gives you people to honor, people that have impacted you, people you've had the privilege of impacting. But the Lord also in your life gives you comrades. People with whom you labor. people you work alongside, maybe someone you've worked with in Sunday school for years, people with whom you've labored. The Apostle Paul had Timothy, and the veteran evangelist ministered to Timothy. As a matter of fact, the very last book he ever wrote was 2 Timothy. It was his farewell epistle to the church, and he talked so dearly about Timothy in that letter, and he told him at the end, come before winter. Well, that's a great truth that I don't have time to go into, but he said, come before winter. And so Timothy, then he talks about Lucius. This may be a reference to Luke. Luke traveled with the Apostle Paul, and Luke, of course, wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he wrote the book of Acts. And so he's mentioning perhaps this Lucius is Luke. The scholars are not quite positive. And then he says, Jason. This may have been the Jason from Thessalonica that they actually, when the Apostle Paul was in Thessalonica, he stayed with a man named Jason. And what happened was Paul got away, and so they went to Jason's house, and they said, we know Paul was with you, and they drugged Jason out. You write this verse down. It's in Acts 17:6-8. They drug him out into the streets. Well, Jason was with Paul at the time, and he's saying, I'm with him. I'm laboring with him. Jason is with me. And then Sosipater. He talks about Sosipater, who accompanied Paul as far as Asia on his journey to Jerusalem. And then I want you to look at the passage here where it says, verse 22, find this in your Bible, verse 22, I want you to see this. Then I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle. Now, in the Bible days, they had amanuensis. They had a person who was the secretary. So all of this is, I love this part. Y'all bear with me if you don't like it, but let me indulge myself. I love this part. Because, see, all of Romans were the words of Paul inspired by Almighty God. Amen? But Paul didn't actually pen them. He had a secretary, and this guy here, Tertius. Oh, man, can you imagine? Can you imagine being the one taking dictation from the Apostle Paul? And Tertius, and by the way, normally, listen, they are never mentioned. This man must have been a godly man for Paul to have allowed him to put this sentence in this verse. This is so precious. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, greet you. These are people with whom Paul is laboring in the work. Now, here's the part I love. Most scholars believe that at that point, when Tertius wrote verse 22, I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord. When he wrote the word Lord, most scholars think he took the pen and handed it to Paul. The apostle himself wrote the rest of it with his own pen, with his own hand. And then he says, Gaius, my host and the host of the whole church, greet you. Erastus, the treasurer of the city, greets you. And Quartus, a brother. These are the people whom Jesus ministered through with the Apostle Paul. They were comrades of the Apostle Paul. And then he ends it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. What is the theme of the book? The gospel of grace. What's the title of the book of Romans? The gospel of grace. Grace needed, grace given, grace understood, grace to Israel, grace lived out. See, all of those, that's what we're talking about, grace, the gospel of grace. And he ends this part about people by saying this. And by the way, he's going to, the next week, buckle your seatbelt. Because grace in Paul, grace, Paul's thoughts about ministry, that's what we did last week. Today is Paul's thoughts about people. But you know what next week is? Paul's thoughts about praise. Don't read it. I'm just kidding. You have a doxology of glory that is about to blow your mind. The Apostle Paul ends this great book by praising Almighty God for the grace of God. Well, he ends this part about people in verse 24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. He ends it after he takes the scripture, takes the pen and writes it in his own hand. He's talking about people. And he commends to them, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.